a person like me who has his hats in different areas or wears different hats, whether it be ministry or poetry, now podcasting and then work, adding the podcasting was just difficult for me to wrap my head around. But again, it was something that I knew I wanted to do. It was just a matter of figuring that out.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with an episode of Podcast on Podcasting, where we help you, a new or aspiring podcaster, to be able to launch, grow, monetize, and inspire. And we've got Derek Ongoy. Derek, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. I'm out here in Southern California, so the weather is never too horrible and it's never too hot. So it's just a perfect weather right now, especially kissing spring. Perfect. Yeah. We're about mid-70s.
I didn't have enough time to shovel all of our snow. I live up in, it's a place called Conifer, Colorado, and it's a wonderful place for your kids to kind of go and play and get out and enjoy and not have to worry too much about what you have to worry in the city or even in suburbs, like people driving by and people driving too fast. You don't have to worry about that so much up here, but it did snow on Monday. It snowed a little over a foot and my snowblower broke on Monday. And today's Wednesday, as we record this, it's Wednesday, and I didn't have enough time to shovel everything. And it snowed another 14 or 15 inches last night. And so I actually, it's funny that you're mentioning that the weather is never too bad for you. Because I'm going to have to leave work during the middle of the day so that I don't lose sunlight. I have to fix my snowblower. And the last thing that I'll share, besides it snows a lot up here compared to down in Denver, is that, what was I going to say? Oh, it was important. But so, Derek, I do have a few questions queued up for you. Yeah. Number one, your podcast is called Breathe, Faith and Creativity Podcast. What's it about and who does it serve?
Yeah, our podcast is geared toward creatives. Well, at least that's whom we invite to the show. Creatives from different backgrounds, whether they're artists or poets. We've even had small business owners and people in the entertainment industry. And what we do on our show is we explore their particular life's journey within their creative space and how their faith plays a role, if any. And it's not necessarily geared toward one faith journey. It's pretty much every faith is welcome to the show. The three co-hosts, although we do prescribe to the Christian background, I mean, we've had Buddhists on the show, we've had Hindus on the show, Muslims, we even had atheists on the show. So it's not necessarily geared toward one faith. We're currently in season two. And the difference between the two seasons is season one, it was just me. I was solo. And we've brought on the two co-hosts for season two. And again, the conversations that we have are centered around creative art, creativity, and faith and how they collide, if any. And you know, what's interesting, this past season specifically, we've had a lot of discussions regarding mental health. And a lot of the artists and creatives who've come on talked about how their creative journey has helped in their own mental health journey. And so as far as like audiences we serve, we've come to find out that a lot of people, whether they're creative artists or not, have enjoyed our podcast because of the topic of mental health. So lately we've been serving both creatives and then folks who really need to process their own mental health journey as well. Those are the two kind of areas of folks that we kind of serve.
Cool. Yeah. Good stuff. And so in the pre-interview, as we were talking, you mentioned that you really wanted to add value to new and aspiring podcasters, that like they're not alone in this journey. Others have gone through it. Others are going through it. That it's okay. And like for you, it sounds like you were intimidated maybe in the beginning, or did you skip past that? Were you intimidated with all that you had to do to launch a podcast way back in 2019 when you launched your show?
Yeah. So what's interesting is the idea for the podcast actually came 2 years prior to that when I released my fourth publication. It was a book of poetry. I'm also in the poetry spoken word sphere. And it's called Breathe, incidentally. And I had, after I toured and put it out there, I just felt like the conversations needed to continue that were spawned from the poems in the book. And I had this idea to put out a podcast, but I sat on it for 2 years, also in pastoral ministry. So pastoring a church also had a lot to do with putting that on pause. But yeah, I mean, part of it is the intimidation factor. I'm an avid podcast listener. And so in my mind, being green and fresh, I'm like, man, these guys sound so amazing. They know what they're doing, high production value. Even the simple guest to interview kind of podcasts, the way they produce their shows, I was very intrigued and highly respect a lot of folks that I listen to. And so there was that intimidation factor of, man, who am I to step forward and try to put out a podcast that's going to compare to these folks that I listen to. I did get over it rather sooner or later. I mean, again, it was like a 2-year journey before we actually launched part of it because of life rhythms and how busy I was with the church. But for sure, intimidation was there. And really, I mean, it's just like, you got to pull the Band-Aid off and you just got to go and you learn along the way. And what's interesting is, as I've spoken with many different podcasters as well, it's kind of the same story where a lot of people didn't know what they were doing going into it. They learned along the way. And if you were to compare their most current, let's say, episodes to their first ones, you can definitely hear the difference of production value and such. And so, yeah, I'd say that it's okay if you're out there wanting to start a podcast. I mean, it's fun. I truly enjoy it. I can't quit my day job, obviously. We have a few sponsorships to cover the costs of our show. But despite all that, I mean, would I love to quit my day job? Yeah, absolutely. But why I do it is because I love having these conversations with people.
I have way too many things to chat with you about. from what you said, it's like just, I couldn't even, this podcast episode could go a couple of hours and we would still be asking questions. You've really unpacked a lot there. So really, you mentioned early on that you're in season 2. Mm-hmm. And that the first season you were doing it all by yourself. And then the second season you brought on 2 co-hosts. So I want to start by asking you, should you have a co-host? Should you not have a co-host? What are the pros and cons?
Yeah, it's a great question. The pros, well, let me start with the cons. The cons of having co-hosts is now you have to maintain or manage schedules with 3 people.
I'm
going to
make sure that I'm playing this for your co-host so they can be like, he said that about me. He said that there was cons. Are you kidding me? All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely. Send them the private link. But no, I mean, now that you have 3 people, and then when you include the guests that we interview, you're talking about potentially 4 people up to 5 that you have to manage a schedule. And so that's one of the cons. You have to manage that, maintain that. And for me, though, it was having to work with my family as well, saying, hey, what's a good day that I can devote weekly to record these episodes? And so there was that time management as well. And so that was a challenge. The pros is I don't feel alone anymore, right? And there's shared responsibility as well, where I can, Christian, who's one of the co-hosts, and then Kevin, I can just hit them up and say, hey, I have an interview scheduled coming up. Can you put together the social media piece for that? Take that off of my plate. So that's another pro. Like, I'm not carrying all the responsibilities anymore. And as well as the network, like, I can only reach so far by myself. And in season 1, all I had were like artists and my friends. But now that we have Christian, who's a painter, he has his networks that he can reach out to. Kevin, he's a voiceover actor. And so he has a different network that he reaches out to. I mean, we were able to talk with a gal named Rita Wild. And if you're in the greater LA area, you know that name because she was in radio for 30 plus years for KLON. And so she was a guest on our show. And I would have never had her on my show had Kevin not been one of the co-hosts. And so the reach, that's another pro. So your reach and your network becomes wider. And so I would say those are some of the pros and cons of having co-hosts.
All right. So like, we're brand new. Mm-hmm. I haven't even launched my show yet.
Yeah.
And I'm listening today. And these pros are compelling. How do I know if it's right for me or not to just start it on my own or start it with a co-host? On top of that, is there anything that I need to know? Like, if the partnership, the co-hostship doesn't really work out, how to exit that the cleanest way possible?
Oh, that last part is a interesting question, which maybe I'll get to toward the end, but I'll start from the other end where I guess it depends on what your vision is. So for us, our vision was to reach as many creatives as possible. And I think I was doing a fairly good job in season 1 by myself, but I knew that I had to expand my reach. And this was before Clubhouse, right? And so Clubhouse is a great place to network. And for those of you who have iOS devices, you know what Clubhouse is. If you were fortunate enough to get an invite, hit me up, by the way. I got a ton of invites that I can give out. But this was before Clubhouse. And so I had to find different and creative ways to reach folks. And so I felt like if I wanted to continue the show, I really needed to expand. And both Christian and Kevin were guests on season one. And I felt like our banter and our connectivity was seamless. And plus, they're my friends. And it was an easy ask. We took about a year off between one and two because of the pandemic. My mental health was just like kind of shot when the pandemic hit. And so I didn't feel any sense of creativity. So we were intending to launch it actually in March of last year when the pandemic hit. And I was like, ugh. So we didn't launch season two till December. But what happened was between March and December, it allowed for Kevin, Christian, and I to really talk about the show. Where do we want it to go? And we were having meetings, of course, over Zoom, building up our own rapport and our own banter. Christian, I go way back with him, way back to like 96. Kevin, I've only known a couple of years. So part of it was redeveloping our kind of personality, developing our cohesiveness. I knew for my sake and the vision of our particular show, I wanted to bring on more people. We're even talking about bringing on guest co-hosts from time to time, again, to expand the network. And so again, you have to ask yourself, what is the vision of the show? And will co-host lend itself to fulfilling that vision or not? And then your last question, if you're going into co-hosting blindly, let's say you're trying to reach out to someone you don't know and you just want to find a partner to work with, I would suggest setting up maybe a time frame. Hey, would you be a co-host for like 5 episodes? And then go into that and feel it out and then revisit. You know, it's kind of like when you get hired, you get the 90-day probation. It's kind of like that, but you don't tell them that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like you don't go into it being like, hey, will you marry me? You go into it like, want to go grab a bite? Hey, do you want to go to the movies? And it's like short, easy things where maybe you can have your co-host just for an episode or two or five or for 3 months, or why don't you co-host with me for a few months, see how it goes, and then we can get married.
Exactly. Perfect. That's exactly what I suggest. Cool.
Love it. That's good stuff. Any repercussions with your podcast listeners when you took an entire year off or about a year off? You were going to publish on March 1st of 2020, and then you didn't end up really doing it until 2021. For the second season?
Oh, absolutely. So the momentum died, right? Everyone was expecting us to come back at a certain time. So when we ended season one, by the time we intended to relaunch, it was only like a 2-3 month rest. And we went into, well, at least when I was by myself, I went into the season clear, saying on every episode that, hey, we're about to wrap up season one. We're going to take 2-3 months off to rest. And again, I'm very vocal about my mental health. And so I needed the rest and everyone understood that. Fine. Great. And so I even put out promotional material. Hey, we're coming back. And then COVID hit. And so it kind of died down, quite honestly. So when we ramped up in December of 2020, we had to do extra pushes to promote the show. In the beginning of the season, our numbers definitely weren't as much as they were in season one. Partly because people probably moved on from it. Again, it's the momentum that died. I think it's picked up. We are about 14 episodes into season two. So I think it's definitely ramped back up for sure. But yeah, that's one of the repercussions for taking a break that long. I do suggest taking breaks, especially if you need that rest. I think rest is important instead of trying to hammer out like 52 episodes a year if you're a weekly podcast. But
just
sure.
More of a question, really. Do you think like, you have to have the podcast have a break? Or do you feel like it could be possible, for example, if you wanted to take November and December completely off, if you just recorded a little bit more than you're publishing for January through October, and you could just have that those extra episodes in the can, in a bank account of episodes, so that you could just get it scheduled for all of November, all of December, take 2 months off with your family, come back in the beginning of January, and you took a break, but the podcast itself didn't take a break?
That can absolutely work. And in fact, season one, I did all the front work. Quite honestly, I went 16 or 17 episodes, but I had most of them all recorded before the first month, before the launch. And so I just scheduled them for release. So absolutely. I think because I personally knew I was going to make a shift to add two co-hosts, I just felt like we needed to take a break and just reformat a little bit as well. So yeah, I could absolutely see that for sure.
Cool. Just curious. Next, I want to really jump into sponsorships. You mentioned that you have a couple of sponsors that help offload some of the costs. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a listener or two that's like almost feels intangible. Was there ever a time that sponsorship felt intangible to you, but you still were able to achieve it eventually?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of season one and maybe even a couple episodes into season two for sure was unsponsored, right? We have a Patreon page as well. So that went dormant. I mean, I launched the Patreon page first episode of season one and got nothing for the whole season. And so I continued to pay into the hosting and all that stuff. But I don't know what happened. It just somewhere in season two, I noticed like, and I'm going to just be honest, we got 5 people on the Patreon page, and those 5 people cover the costs of our hosting and everything else that we add on. And so we pretty much aren't paying anymore. Now we go ahead.
I'll remember my question. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so in addition to that, we have 2 sponsors from local businesses who I know the 2 businesses. So one's a coffee shop and one's a printing company, which in many ways relate to what we do, both in the creative space. I love coffee. Printing, of course, is a creative space in many ways. So is coffee. And so, yeah, I just reached out to 2 of my friends, and maybe that's an advice for those seeking sponsorships. If you know people who own businesses, it's a great way just to get your feet wet in sponsorships. And, you know, I hit up one of my friends and said, hey, would you like to sponsor a few episodes? And the coffee shop owner was like, hey, what if I just give you like a certain amount of money every month and let's just do sponsorships indefinitely until I say I'm done paying you. The other one, the print shop, he paid into 6 episodes. I kind of took some other models from different sites that offer podcast sponsorships, and I kind of reworked it to fit our best benefit. And so this particular business owner paid into it. I think it was like $100 for 6 episodes or something like that. You know, nothing big, but enough now that we have like a good couple of hundred, maybe a few $100 in the account just sitting. So if we need new equipment, we can do that. If we need, when the world opens up, if we need to travel somewhere, this and that. But as far as our Patreon and the support we get from there, our costs are covered for sure until one of them decides not to pay anymore. But for sure, season one and the few episodes into season two, I felt like, man, because I was hearing that. I was hearing that on forums, like get some sponsors, and people were talking about all the sponsors they have. And I'm like, how in the world? And then I thought to myself, well, and maybe it was my wife who said, well, why don't you just hit up so-and-so who own these businesses, and maybe they want to pay for airtime to, you know, promote their business as well, and hit them up. And they said, yeah. So
is there like a pitch that we should use to have more likely to get the people to say yes? Like in your case, it sounds like you asked 2 people, 2 people said yes. Many of us will probably hear a couple of no's usually. Mm-hmm. So is there any part of the reach out process to these 2 people that are actually sponsoring, plus your other Patreons as well, that maybe if there's a tangible takeaway for a listener who wants to have a sponsor so they know what to say?
Well, so my context is all relational building, right? So all of our support wasn't blind calls or cold calls. They weren't just, hey, let me call up Google. Hey, let me call up Amazon. Hey, can you support? No, it was relationships that I built with these friends in the community. And I am an avid supporter of the coffee shop. I'm an avid supporter of the print shop specifically. And it helps that I've known specifically the print shop owner for a long time. And so again, I appeal to the relationship that has already been built. And so that, again, that's my context. Now, if you're to ask me how to reach out to major corporations, I don't know, because I don't have that experience just yet. I'm hoping to, but as far as local businesses, it's what businesses do you frequent? List them. I mean, for me, again, it's the coffee shop and the print shop, but off the top of my head, like I frequent a few restaurants in the local area, and I've gotten to know the business owners and the staff. And I'm thinking about this breakfast joint that I go to a lot and thinking, okay, after this run of sponsorships, because I don't want to just like inundate my episodes with sponsors at the front end and like 10 minutes of sponsors, right? So I want to space them out. So, hey, this local breakfast joint, you know, I'm already mapping out in my head, let me go up to the person maybe in a couple of weeks before the current sponsors end and say, hey, listen, I have this podcast. And again, appeal to the relationship side. And I think that released a lot of pressure and stress to try to go to some company that I don't know. But yeah, again, cataloging who you know in the community and just start reaching out to them.
Perfect. A lot of good stuff. And all of it very tangible. And I have a few additional questions here. in order to start your podcast, I'm sure it wasn't all, what do they call it, unicorns and rainbows? I'm not sure if I'm even saying it right. That'd be
magic mushrooms, Lucky Charms.
People are like magic marshmallows. Magic. We don't say magic mushrooms on this podcast.
Did I say magic mushrooms? Oh my gosh. We've said it three
magic
times.
Magic marshmallows.
Already,
true. All right. I'm sure it wasn't all magic mushrooms in order to start the podcast. So what challenges did you need to overcome?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the beginning, I did mention the whole getting over the fear of I don't meet up to the standards. That was one. But quite honestly, too, one of the challenges in the beginning was time management. With all the hats that I was wearing in my life at the time, it was trying to figure out when I can record, when these interviews, because again, the difference between season one and season two, being on my own, it wasn't as routine as it is now. A lot of these interviews were happening at different times of the day, different days during the week. And so time management was a huge challenge for me in the beginning. And part of it was just trying to figure it out. I had just started and I was just trying to figure out rhythms. And of course, two seasons in, we've come to a relatively good rhythm where I know that this certain time of the day and of the week is guarded for this specific. So I try to schedule most of my interviews as well as the recording with the two other co-hosts on the specific day and time. Again, because it works for my family and it's one of those agreements that we've made. And so the kids know that, hey, Pops is in the garage recording. Let's just wait till he's done versus going and knocking on the door and disturbing him. And so it's kind of agreement. So I could say that now, but early on, yeah, time management was a huge challenge. Time management was a huge challenge just because, again, a person like me who has his hats in different areas or wears different hats, whether it be ministry or poetry, now podcasting and then work, adding the podcasting was just difficult for me to wrap my head around. But again, it was something that I knew I wanted to do. It was just a matter of figuring that out. So, I mean, there were some days where I had like four or five interviews and I don't do well with calendars, right? And which is something I need to get into, but I don't do well. It's just, I look on my iPhone and my iCal and like, oh yeah, there's a slot there. Sure. Let's do the interview. And then when another person calls me back and say, hey, I can do an interview, I'll just look at the same day. Oh, there's a slot there. And then come to realize, oh my gosh, I just scheduled four or five interviews in one day back to back. What in the world? So I'm a lot smarter now, but time management definitely was one of the biggest challenges during that early year.
So when you say you're a lot smarter now, what is it that you're doing a little bit differently right now to manage the time more effectively, be able to still put out the right amount of content, not overwhelm yourself and not kind of get in the way of your family? For me, it's I have all my entire Wednesday, every single week is completely blocked out for just podcasts. I have a couple podcasts and I use a Calendly link and they just schedule. And I know that I have to do back to back to back to back. And I wouldn't normally be good with calendars myself, but Calendly has really, I need to become an affiliate. I like them so much. For now on, I'm going to have like some resource page. Oh my gosh, this is brilliant. I'm going to have a resource page and Calendly is going to be on it and they're going to pay me millions of dollars. And I don't even need the sponsor because it's more like affiliate.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's free Calendly accounts. So maybe I'm swimming backwards, but what was it for you, Derek, that allowed you to be able to feel like you're accomplishing what you need to without sacrificing the family?
Yeah, so I go back to that word rhythm. So Monday nights from 7 to 9 are blocked off for podcasting. Now, whether that's recording with the three other co-hosts for the show or scheduling an interview with a potential guest. And again, the upside with two co-hosts is whenever they want to schedule their guest, you do it. I don't have to be a part of that. But between 7 and 9 is blocked off to record episodes. And then Saturday mornings, when the kids are just still waking up, when they're still in bed, quite honestly, my wife, she leaves for work really early Saturday mornings. So from like 7 to 9, I don't know how that works out, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday nights are recording. And then 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Saturday mornings are reserved for editing. And so I have those rhythms worked into my life and it's worked. And it's really looking at my life schedule, my life rhythms and saying, okay, what works best? That one is still going to fill me, right? Because I'm doing this because it fills me. And I don't want ever want it to become a burden where I have to edit episodes every single day because that would be too overwhelming. And so what works for me? Well, okay, this block of time works for me on Monday and Saturday. And yet it still has leaves me with a ton of time for my family as well. It's that. It's, I think partly in season one, I was just eager to record so much. I was just so eager to get so many interviews recorded. And that's why I struggle with time management. But now, having gone two seasons and experienced it for what we're total now, what, 24, maybe 30 episodes in between the two seasons, I've come to understand what works and what doesn't work. And it's okay. I'm not trying to schedule so many interviews like I was in season one. And so that's what's worked. It's really looking at my week and what works best and sticking with that rhythm.
Derek, what if you tripled your Patreons and all of a sudden we had 15 people, not just offloading the cost of your hosting platform and some of those other costs, but you had so much extra money that you had the ability to offload the all of the post-production, the editing of the podcast, so you didn't even have to do it. Would that be one of the first places that you'd put the money or not?
That's a really tough one for me because as a creative myself, I'm very particular on how I want things to sound. And I'm not saying our sound is the best because it's obviously not, but because I'm very particular at how. I mean, as a poet, for instance, I've done collaborative pieces with other poets because I was asked to. But because of the way the final product ended, I just didn't like it because half of the poem is not me. And I know that's something I have to get over myself, but it's really hard for me to delegate. It is. And that's my fault. I want to take on as much as I can and I want my hand on everything. Like even one of my co-hosts was like, hey, why don't I shadow you in the next coming weeks to edit the episode and so that I can take that off of you at times? And I said, yeah, sure. But in my mind, I'm like, nah, that's not going to happen. You know. But well, I know it's probably the wisest thing to do. But again, it's something I have to get over someday and to eventually do it.
It took me a long time as well. I didn't want to do it, but I felt like no one could do it like me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I actually sent it off. I don't think I'm exaggerating, but I'm not spending the time to actually get the details correct. So I could be exaggerating on accident. I think I gave it off 6 different times and was disappointed each and every time. And I finally was able to find a virtual assistant that took everything that was in my brain, the way that I think, and she did it to a level that I don't cringe. It doesn't bother me. I'm happy with the way that it's getting edited. And now because she's more of a systems person than I am, she's able to systemize that and give that to other virtual assistants that work with us on our team when we do post-production of other people's podcasts. So it's done like this very particular way. And it's been great, but it took forever to get there. So knowing that you currently want to control it, if you did triple your Patreons or quadruple them and you had a whole bunch of extra money, because you already have money just sitting in the bank in case you need to travel somewhere whenever you can, or if you need to buy more mics. Well, let's just say you had so much coming in on a regular basis. Where would be the first place that you'd put that money?
Yeah, we've talked with the other co-hosts about this. And of course, we're waiting for the world to open up. But man, we would use that money to travel, quite honestly, to go on location to various sites. And now you're talking about a budget of plane tickets and train rides or whatever have you. So we're thinking significant amount of money at this point. But I mean, how great would it be to travel on location to a poet up in the Bay Area, San Francisco? How amazing would it be to not do it? Right. Honestly, that's what we had talked about. Like when the future happens or when the world opens up, that's our dream, to be able to travel on location to do these interviews with people that we are connecting with. Even some of the people that I've connected with on Clubhouse, for instance, I met someone from Argentina. I mean, how great would it be to travel to Argentina to do the interview there? That's my dream. And that's what I would put all this extra money into.
I have so many questions and I'm not sure we'll even be able to get to them all. Want to ask you, currently, you've overcome multiple challenges, some of them internally, some of them mental health, some of them scheduling with the family, some of them being not having any intimidation of the podcast, like knowing that you are good enough. It's almost that imposter syndrome.
Right.
I know you've overcome lots of cool things in order to be where you are, but I really want to know if there is still a challenge with your podcast that you are currently struggling with that might be able to help a listener?
Yeah. So having put out a handful of books, right? Knowing that writing the book is only like 10% of the journey, 90 even or so, a high percentage is all about marketing and promoting. That is one of perhaps our biggest hurdle. I mean, I think we have our committed listeners, but there's always the desire to grow. So the question with us is, how do we grow? How do we promote? How do we get over this hurdle? Because we know that producing this really is a chunk of the whole journey in podcasting, and getting our show into the ears of new listeners is a challenge. And other than promoting it on all of our social medias, connecting on other forums with other podcasters, short of paying for ad space to get our name out there, that's been something that we've been thinking about. Like, how can we? And I try to talk up the podcast to, I think I'm generally a pretty social guy. And so wherever I go, whether it's a coffee shop or a restaurant, a store, waiting in line for the groceries, I always have a tendency to say hey to people, maybe social distance now, but I'm not just going to stand in line just twiddling my thumbs. Right? I'm not the one in the elevator who's just quiet. When someone comes in the elevator, I'm going to spark a conversation, no matter how uncomfortable you're going to be. And I find ways to talk about the things that I love in life, whether it be my family, whether it be my faith, whether it be my love for the Los Angeles Lakers, and in this case, too, podcasts. And so I try my best to talk it up wherever I go. But I think that's one of the challenges still. How do we gain new listenerships outside of, because I know that social media can only go so far. In fact, I think social media really is just a small portion of, because I'm looking at the stats, for instance, and we have listeners in South Africa. And I'm like, I don't know anybody in South Africa. And I'm sure no one in South Africa is following me on social media. So how? You know what I mean? And you take those stats with a grain of salt, and how accurate are they? We don't know. But it's still kind of cool to see, oh, wow, we got a listener in South Africa. We got a listener in Uruguay and all that. But I think that is, this is the promoting and the marketing aspect is still a challenge for us.
I think I only have two more questions for you today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get you back on the podcast to dive sure. into everything else.
Be my pleasure.
Number one, is it more important to be yourself or to be perfect?
Oh, man, I love that question. To be yourself. And if I could talk about my hat in the religious world, for instance, hid my mental health for a long time because of the pressures of having to be perfect. Like, who in their right mind is going to attend our church when a pastor is struggling with depression and anxiety and suicidality? And also, I'm an Asian American, so there's also the Asian shame that I deal with, at least where you just don't talk about anything. You just keep your head down and you plow forward. And so I had those two factors determining whether or not the persona that I was going to portray in public was going to be me or this painted on person. And for a long time, I was this painted on person. I was the smiles. I was the handshake. I was everything is fine. A part of me inside was like, man, this is wrong. I'm living this lie. But I kid you not, the moment from the pulpit, I confessed to the congregation that I was dealing with depression and anxiety and suicidality. Oh my gosh, like so many people started coming up to me and saying, thank you for that, because I'm struggling too. And I didn't know how to say it. And it created this atmosphere of honesty within our congregation. And I found it to be true in podcasting as well. You take the pressure off so much when you put on this painted face and strive for perfection. I used to try to edit out all the ums and the ahs and all the filler words. And I just got exhausted from doing that. And if I normally talk like that, and sure, I'll edit out some. If I'm just going five minutes of just saying, sure, I'll edit that out. But I try to keep as much as that in as possible because I normally talk like that. And I'd rather give the honest self of me in public than trying to live out this persona that's not even me. And it takes more work to do it that way in the first place. And our voiceover actor will probably tell you the same thing. I mean, he's an actor, so he's wearing all these different masks anyways. And he shares how hard it is to live that way. And he finds so much freedom in just being Kevin. And so I would say being yourself is more important than striving for perfection.
I'm so glad that I asked you. Beautiful answer.
Thank you.
And the way that you shared your experience that got you to this place is incredibly impactful for the next podcaster who is going between the two.
Yeah.
I also focused in the beginning more about being perfect, wearing a suit, where never cussing, just because I didn't want to push buttons, offend anyone, make them think that I wasn't professional, editing out ums and ahs, pretending like I don't make mistakes and I've never made a mistake. And then the day that I changed that, just like you with your congregation of letting them know your struggles, the weirdest thing happened. I got more followers, more listeners, more people investing with me, hiring me, connecting with me, and being able to resonate. And I think that's just such a powerful thing for our listener who's a podcaster or a soon-to-be podcaster to remember that it's more important to just be yourself than it is to be perfect. It was really beautiful the way that you mentioned it. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, of course.
I also want to find out just what kind of tools you use, tricks you use, hacks that you have for a podcaster that many of us might not know unless you were here sharing it with us today.
Yeah. So we don't have the budget to create our own studio in-house, and we don't have the budget to go to a studio to record. So I'm here in my garage. And as far as sound goes, I mean, I'm not a professional sound guy. I do have, you know, I do know my way around a soundboard and of course editing and such. And so I think sound definitely is important to me. You know, there's always that conversation between content versus sound quality, and people are like, no, as long as you have the content. But man, if you have the content and your audio sucks, like, there's only so much you can listen to good content if the audio is just really horrible. And so one thing that we always talk about is the whole sound bouncing, right? You never want to record in a space that has a ton of windows and all that stuff. And so for me, I tried the whole, right, there's that tip where you go under your sheet and you record there. Yes, it sounds great, but it's also uncomfortable because I love to move. So what I've done, and in my setup here, being in the garage, for instance, and this is the hack to kind of dampen the sound a little bit so you don't get a lot of the bouncing. You know, I put up a lot of curtains in the garage, right? Garages tend to be very echoey, concrete and all that, stale, if you will. But I put up a bunch of curtains. I put up a huge floor rug to help dampen the sound. And you can't see this now on the video, but behind the microphone, I have couch cushions right behind the microphone to absorb sound. And it's an easy, simple, and really cheap way to get pretty good sound quality.
So do your kids just like, they want to knock on the door, they want to reach out to you, but it's mostly because they're standing up while they're watching their show while you're in here recording with their couch cushions?
Yeah, no, we actually have couches in the garage. And so I just take those cushions and put it there. And
they're like, when is dad going to be finished? I just want to sit down. I've been standing up since 7 o'clock and it's already 9 p.m.
Yeah. Again, I've tried even the walk-in closet, which is great because of all the clothes that absorb sound. But again, it was too claustrophobic for me and I needed the space. And so that's one tip I would say specific to sound quality, I would say. And then, of course, I would also advise to get a good, you know, if you're going to invest in something, invest in a good microphone. It's really important. I mean, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars, but get a microphone that has pretty good sound quality. You can get a good microphone for under 100, even two or three, but you don't have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a good mic. But you do need a good microphone for sure. And so those are maybe two tips one tip and a hack that I would share with your listeners. Yeah, of course. You're welcome.
I'm a big mic person as well. I've used four different mics. Well, four different professional mics. And then I have used my webcam microphone before, and I've used my phone microphone. I've used my AirPod microphones as well. So, but as far as like actual mics, I've used one that's $70, one that's about $90 or $100, one that's $250, one that was $500. And with some of them, I have to use the interface, which is another. For me, it's like there's some that are like $200 and others like that I'm using right now that are like $600. And so there's all of these different kinds of like expenses that can come up when you're launching. And I liked how you said you don't have to spend $1,000 to get a good mic. And I will mention just to the listener that I have a PDF. It's simple to find. If you go to our website, it's growyourshow.com, but do the /PDF. It's literally growyourshow.com/PDF. and it gives you every mic that I would suggest that I've personally vetted that is good. And the coolest thing, Derek, and for the listener as well, there is a $20 mic that works really, really well. It sounds like a $100 mic. So
wow.
There's all sorts of levels on there. If you want a mic, if you want a green screen, if you want other sound protection, everything that you could ever want is on there. And we even put an asterisk on it. Like if it is something that's optional, we say that it's optional. You don't have to buy this. And but if you want to spend a lot, you can spend a lot. If you want to spend $20, it's on there. Just go to growyourshow.com/PDF and you can get that PDF that literally has clickable links to Amazon for vetted material. So if you're listening and you haven't bought that yet, or you're thinking about upgrading and you want to know what I vetted, it's all there. They are, in full disclosure, they are affiliate links. I need to make money through the podcast somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm not making it with Calendly yet, but you can jump in there. And if I make 20 cents, don't be offended. I'm not asking you to do Patreon or anything like on a regular basis. Just buy that mic. And if 1% of it, I don't remember if it's 1 or 2% that they, I don't remember how much they pay, but I promise it doesn't pay my bills and you don't pay a dime more by buying those. Anyway, it's all put together for you. And I think that'll help. Derek, final words. What do you have to say to a new podcaster?
Have fun with it. And I would even say this, because in the different worlds that I have my hand in, the moment it becomes a chore, the moment you don't have the desire for it, leave as soon as you can, because you're not doing yourself a favor and you're not doing your listeners a favor anymore. And to this day, I still enjoy what we do with the podcast. And so have fun with it. Enjoy it. And again, do us all a favor, including yourself. The moment it becomes a chore and you don't love it anymore, don't do it just because you have the listenership. And again, I've mentioned this throughout the episode, but your mental health is more important than putting out episodes. And so be aware of that as well. So enjoy it. Have fun with it.
That's Derek Engoy from Breathe, Faith and Creativity Podcast. You can find it wherever you're listening to this podcast. You'll notice that he's already in the top 10% of all podcasters based on number of ratings, which he's above that 30 mark. But even still, if you feel once you've listened to an episode or two, if you feel inclined to give him a rating and a written review, let him know that you heard about him from this podcast. And I'm sure he would have a lot of gratitude to connect with you as well. Derek, thank you so much for jumping on, for teaching us that we're not alone, that it's okay, that not to be intimidated, that our mental health is important when we're podcasting, focusing on that, our family, finding ways of utilizing a good schedule so that we're putting out the right amount of content, giving us permission that if we need to take a break for a month or two or three or 12, that we that we have that permission to be able to jump in as well. Thanks for going through the setup with your own garage and how you put up curtains, couch cushions, and used a decent mic to be able to have a better sound. And additionally, putting down that mat. I don't know if it's called a mat or a carpet or a rug. What did you call it?
Yeah, just a floor rug.
Floor
That's
rug.
That's what it is. Yeah, there you go.
So simple. I can't believe I would miss
Which
a
seems
word like that.
Very, anyways, floor rug just sounds like it's I don't know.
We need to have a euphemism for floor rug coming up on the next podcast. Thank you for talking about, like, really, who am I? What do I want to accomplish? Make it fun. Make your podcast fun. Enjoy it. Sound quality with the room. And most importantly, in my opinion, being yourself, not being perfect. It's a huge takeaway that I got. Derek, thanks for jumping on. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.